previously on Three of Hearts. In a triumphant battle against Veracity and the forces of Chrysalis, Agents Vellum and Felspar have saved the people of Cindershore and held up their deal to protect the suspicious pop star Diamond. But the victory has come at more than one cost. Not only has Spar given up half or more of his lifespan, but Vellum's call for backup may have had dire consequences. Governor Thorne of Vasa Natura has arrived to help Cindershore, but she said that every agent of Suits is under investigation. Let's find out why. We are beginning in a flashback to... How long ago was this flashback?
I gotta say, like, 5 or more years. Like, a while ago.
Yeah, long enough ago that it, like, took a second for Spar to recognize Vellum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 6 years ago. That's 5 or more.
It sure is, yeah.
6 years ago, we are in the office of Governor Thorne, who will be played by S.A. in this scene.
Hello.
Whoa. Vellum and Jack are there meeting with her, and her office is very shiny and smooth. She's got a very well-polished wood table, and behind her is a large painting. I'm not sure exactly how to describe the painting because I'm bad at art terms, but if anyone's familiar with comic book artist Alex Ross, it looks like his stuff, which is like, it's kind of realist, but also tends to portray its heroes like very spectacularly, like it's always looking up at them. And it is a scene of the Battle of Vasa Natura, which depicts Governor Thorne doing some fighting alongside two people that Vellum would probably not recognize at the time, but has since seen photos of in the Felspar family home, Tara and Felix Felspar.
So it's a painting of, is it of Governor Thorne with Felix and Tara?
Yeah, they're all like fighting heroically and doing like, I don't know, Tara's probably doing a magic of some kind. Thorne is stabbing someone with a spear. Felix is in mid-jump like shooting an arrow. It's very like action scene-y.
Nice.
That is what dominates a large portion of her office. Why doesn't Thorne tell us why we're here?
So Thorne welcomes you in and says, gentlemen. And I imagine her wearing like a very slick, like pantsuit, very like politician, extremely fucking polished.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen a corgi get into a chair, but definitely like Jack won't accept help.
Oh,
and he like tries to do like a first jump and doesn't quite make it, and then like wiggles his butt a little and then does a second jump and makes it up on the chair.
Perfect. Good.
Uh-huh.
She pours whiskey for Vellum and then looks at Jack, whose last name is Spade, right? Jack Spade.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Spade, can I offer you something?
I'll also take some whiskey. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So she pours a little whiskey into what could just be a broad, shallow glass. I'm thinking of champagne coupes, which are broad and shallow. And so, you know, maybe it's a champagne coupe, maybe it's a crystal bowl. Who can say?
Jack takes one, like, lap of the whiskey and then goes like, and that's the extent of his whiskey enjoying experience.
Mm-hmm. And she pours whiskey for herself and sits behind her desk and says, thank you for coming. I appreciate your discretion and support in this matter.
I just want to remind the audience, because I don't know, I think we established this personally after last time Jack was in this podcast, that he's got like a magic collar that translates his like thoughts into speech instead of like actually speaking himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI. Okay, so it probably sounds like a little tinny, like it's coming from an old speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what were you saying, Essay?
Saying that I appreciate your discretion and support in this matter.
Yes. Have we offered that?
I believe that's why you're here.
Well, I'm here because you asked for a meeting, and, you know, typically when the governor asks for a meeting, we do it, because the next thing could be, like, a jury summons or something.
Exactly. Discretion and support.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Vellum here doesn't really like to be too public about his ownership of suits, but it is important that he's here to participate in, you know, these dealings.
Must we call them dealings? It's not so backroom as all that, I think. It's just PR.
Yes.
Making sure that your image and my image, they're mutually beneficial. I've been troubled lately by the way Suits has been less concerned with the image than maybe you should be.
Mm-hmm.
What specifically is troubling you, Governor?
Well, your agents ransacking my office, coming up with very public accusations of things that could have been handled quietly behind closed doors. A case that I believe you, Mr. Vellum, were yourself involved in?
Yes, that is correct. I apologize. Question mark.
Yeah, that's an essay laugh, not a thorn laugh.
Jack interjects and says, Vellum, whenever she says, I believe, she means she knows exactly what she's talking about, and she wants to project a false cordiality. She's mad at us.
Yes. Yes, I understand that.
She smiles in a way that's kind of baring her teeth. It's one half politician smile and one half, like...
crocodilian smile.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a miscommunication, and I will take responsibility for it.
Well, hold on, Vellum. A member of Thorne's office was breaking the laws of decency and the laws of, like, the cops. I don't think you need to apologize for that or take any kind of responsibility.
And I certainly wouldn't want to thrust anyone in the spotlight who didn't want to be there. Of course, having that just happen to me in my office, I would certainly never do that to you in your office, surely. But I was thinking that perhaps it might do to remind the public in general, and perhaps Suits in particular, that they could do with a little less kicking in doors and a little more routing things through the proper official channels.
I'm sure your office has trainings on these things. If you'd like to work with us to have some kind of class for our Suits agents, that could be a great...
Oh, yes, that's already. I've been in touch with Greggins and sent him over several curricula that I expect to see implemented quite soon.
Well,
however, in this particular case, I think that to really drive home how important this is to Vasa Natura, not just to me, but to this city that we both care for and protect. I think the person who was so indiscreet should be made an example of.
I disagree. I appreciate where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Jack tilts his head.
However, I think I bear more responsibility on their actions than...
Well, Cowan, let's not throw yourself on the grenade here.
If I hadn't been in such a rush, maybe...
You weren't the one dragging a public servant out into the street. I think you can hardly be held as accountable as a certain agent, Felspar. And really, I would be happy to have my team smooth this over if you would just give me this one, call it a head start on recovering our public image. And I do mean our.
Can I ask you a sincere question?
Of course.
Do you always talk like you're in front of a camera just in case there's one rolling, or?
You can never be too careful these days. Cameras everywhere. Microphones in offices.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I believe that was how Spar caught him.
Oh, no.
Which, you will note, is quite the invasion of privacy, again, for a public servant.
Yes. Look. We're not firing Spar. He's a fine agent. And I would argue that it actually looks to be in poor taste for us to fire someone for the crime of exposing the indiscretions of Mr. Silverleaf.
It's not for exposing the indiscretions. It's for not going through the proper channels to do so. In a time such as this, you really can't be too careful about making sure that we're supporting our government and not exposing it to any weaknesses. Wouldn't you agree?
If he had gone through the proper channels, would Mr. Silverleaf's business dealings have come to light?
Of course. I'm led to believe that your Mr. Felspar is a fine agent.
For some reason, I believe that evidence to substantiate that would have been difficult to obtain.
You see, I think the image that we send, if we fire Agent Felspar publicly, is not if you see something, say something. It becomes if you see something, route that through the proper channels before protecting your fellow citizen.
Correct, yes. That is, in fact, the message I would like suits to send, yes. I mean, people who just say things, that's how we get the last 10 years of tumult we've had here in Vasa Natura.
Is that how, or was it the lengthy war that tore apart our society?
That's what I'm saying, is that after the war, we have to rebuild trust in our leaders.
Yes.
And that starts with not airing our dirty laundry.
Look.
I'm not saying that Mr. Silverleaf shouldn't have been fired. I'm just saying that perhaps Mr. Felspar shouldn't have literally kicked down the door, grabbed a man by his collar, and hauled him into the literal street.
I mean, I do agree.
If that's what you call professionalism in your organization, Mr. Spade, I am going to have to ask some very hard questions about
look
how it is you operate in this city.
Look.
I agree that Agent Felspar could have handled this in a better way. However, I do not know if I completely trust the proper channels when doing a criminal investigation of those proper channels.
Well, it seems we're at a bit of an impasse.
Can we just get rid of Cadwin Silverleaf? He's kind of a thorn in everyone's side.
She raises her eyebrows to see if that pun was intended.
It was.
I don't see how getting rid of Cadwin does anything with his brother's indiscretions.
Look, I'll be honest. I try to fire him like twice a week, so I was just checking.
At this point in time, does Cadwin work for Suits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I was thinking that somehow the investigation was pointing towards his brother, but maybe some of the evidence linked back to their home, or I don't know, maybe Cadwin worked there too. That's what I had been thinking.
Yeah, well, and that doesn't have to contradict what's currently on the table, right? Because if you can pin it all on Cadwin, then he's the reason that Suits, quote-unquote, improperly investigated his brother.
Right, right.
If you have, like, one of them in politics and one of them in Suits, then you can be like, oh, look at this conflict of interest.
Okay.
Yeah, because Cadwin definitely needs to be a politician, but I get the idea that he's been, like, a sad alcoholic for longer than 6 years, frankly.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was conflating it with this is the reason why Cadwin needed a job and thus started to work for Suits.
Yeah, I think that happened longer ago, but anyway.
Okay.
So, I also don't want to decide too much life lore for Kevin's character while we're here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can see how it might not look great to fire him. All right. Vellum, do you have any thoughts that aren't yourself or Mr. Felspar? Is it determination? I have a thought, if you are interested in appearances, Belladonna.
Oh, I see. We're at Belladonna now.
We both fought on the same side of a war.
Yes, well.
Look. We suspend Spar. He should be punished for dragging a man into the street. But his sister works in your office, right?
You know, I believe she does.
While Spar is suspended, perhaps his sister could get a bonus just enough to cover the man's groceries. No one has to know about that. The appearance is that we took action.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is hunky-dory.
Now, Jack, I think that that is something that could be easily arranged. You see how wonderful it is for friends to work together?
How long of a suspension are we talking?
What do you think is fair? You're the one footing the bill.
Oh, I couldn't pin a number on justice.
You do that all the time.
Oh, it's one of my great hobbies. Oh, I think, what do we think? 6, 8, 12 weeks?
8 weeks.
8 weeks? Pleasure doing business with you, Jack.
But man, the man probably needs more hobbies anyway.
I'll be sure to send him over some books.
A pleasure doing business with you.
And she walks over to her office and opens the door, inviting the two of you to leave.
Yeah, Jack hops off the chair and does so unhappily. Jack is definitely normally very perky, so it's like very clear that he just like hated everything that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Vellum will push his untouched glass of whiskey back on her desk,
mm-hmm,
and follow Jack.
She picks up the untouched whiskey, salutes the two of you, and takes a drink.
Jack says, I recommend you not drink mine. You don't want to know where my tongue's been. As he heads out the door. And now we're going to go to the present. But before we do that, you guys leveled up.
Yeah.
Because Yay. You guys murdered a big scary vampire. And that comes with experience points, which this game doesn't have.
Does it count as murder?
No, you killed.
Okay.
Well, it was premeditated.
We were also in a fight for our lives.
I'm just saying, Spar wanted to kill them and well, not wanted to, but figured he was going to. Maybe he did want to. I shouldn't speak for him.
I don't know if I would say it was planned. Like, there was definitely the desire to kill, but it's not like we had figured out, okay, we're going to poison them.
It wasn't self-defense because they weren't actually attacking either of you.
Yeah, they were trying to get away.
They were just holding an entire city hostage.
Yeah, they were just trying to take an entire city hostage, so... Anyway.
Peacefully. Anyway. These are jokes. I'm not defending Veracity's actions for real. We do jokes on this podcast. Ela, do you want to tell us a little bit about how Vellum has progressed as a character, statistically speaking?
In terms of character sheets and rules and stuff. So for this level up, I put another point into wit because Vellum has gained more field experience, including getting a shot in on Veracity at the very end there, So his reaction speed is better. He's thinking more on his feet.
And I believe that gives you more dodge and possibly more initiative?
That gives me another point in dodge. So that is 2 dodge. And it gives me another point in drive. So I have 6 points of drive now.
Beautiful.
I picked engineering for my skill practice.
While we're talking mechanical stuff, I want to say that, like, I kind of want to canonize the use of drive that, like, I kind of did last time, where I kind of allowed you guys to use it to, like, do an extra thing in your turn, as long as it, like, narratively made sense to do that.
Cool.
Okay, anyways, go on.
And then I got a new ultimate. I'm keeping Beloved and Eclectic, because I think they are still pretty cool. Beloved doesn't come up as much, but...
it did last time.
Does on occasion. And it did last time, yeah. So my new ultimate is called Body and Mind. I chose this one because of Vellum's new martial arts experience.
Yeah.
To summarize, whenever Vellum makes a brawn or agility action... if his next action is intelligence or wit, he gets a +2.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
So hopefully that will add some more fun and chaos to upcoming battles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Essay?
So I kept my ultimate sleuthing, which if you know a character's name, you get additional flips for investigation and combat against them. I got rid of friendship speech, which was the one where I could give an inspiring speech to give bonus flips to an ally, because that it just like wasn't really narratively appropriate very often. Instead, I took I'll cover you, which is whenever you get 3 or more successes to a firearms or sneaking action in combat, you can give an ally to dodge. So hopefully that can help Vellum move out of the way of some shit.
Uh-huh.
And then I took a new ultimate, give and take, which is whenever you get 3 or more successes to an attack, you or an ally may gain 2 health. And so I can hit people so good that Vellum stops bleeding so much. Conversely, when I get 3 or more successes to a heal action, I can deal 1 damage to an enemy. So I can patch him up so good that the enemies put a hand over their heart and they're like, oh, it's too soft.
I like the idea of the damage to healing one somehow being an effective ghost sword. Because we've seen it do random magical stuff before. I don't know how else a narrator will justify that, but I think that makes sense to me.
We'll figure it out.
Yep.
And then I bargained with Jordan. Instead of taking a point to an attribute, which are the brawn, intelligence, charm, agility, wit, presence, I took 2 new skills in order to get the prereqs for the ultimates. So Spar now has some points in sneaking and biology that he did not have before.
Wonderful. Love a sneak. Love a biology. I almost majored in biology in college. Much to my parents' disappointment, I chose English instead. Okay, that's that. Where we left off, in the present, you all had just fought Veracity. And... some of the stuff had happened, like Spar talked to a god, Kronosava, and convinced them to let everyone at the party not be frozen in time, and it only cost him who knows how many years of his life.
Well, and not just the people at the party. Kronosava agreed to redact the artifact permanently.
Yeah, so it can't cause any more problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that Spar wouldn't bargain away his mortality just for the people at the party, but like...
yeah, but just to get rid of it altogether, that makes sense.
Oh, no, yeah. He definitely would have. But I, Essay, like to think that
he would have
at least tried to negotiate a little higher. Yeah.
Do we have Diamond in custody?
No, not at all. So I was going to say, you guys killed Veracity, who turned into ash and rained down on the party. That's pretty much where we left off. Ipswich, Lunavilla, and Jakob are somewhere else in the hotel. And yeah, Diamond is just still on the stage. If that would be your first thing, would be to look for Diamond. Yeah, they're just up there, actually looking down at the two of you.
Yeah, considering how slippery Diamond was last time their performance went wrong, I think that's one of the things on Vellum's mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, to your maybe surprise, Diamond's actually walking toward the two of you.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Vellum is for once happy to see them.
Diamond walks right past Vellum and goes towards Spar.
Okay.
I mean, Vellum and Spar are next to each other, so they're not going very far, but...
Yeah. But, yeah but their attention is focused on Spar.
Yeah, who still has a hand on his chest.
Mm-hmm. On Vellum's chest?
No, on his own. He's feeling the scars that...
Oh, that's right. That's
used
right.
to be there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. They have, like, some of the ash, like, in their hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, is Veracity really dead?
I fucking hope so.
Spar shrugs. I don't know very much about vampires. I think yes, but you should probably ask Luna.
Yeah, I don't think that will be happening. Look. I'm only ever going to be sincere this one time. You know, I knew Felix Felspar. And Merrim Felspar, the first. I think both of them would be proud of you.
Spar nods a little uncertainly. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a little weird, actually. Merrim was a fan of my music. That's how I met Lunavilla. Anyway. Was Spar going to say something?
Essay's going to say something, which is, I think Spar is way too dazed and also wasn't there for the conversation. Mm-hmm. But Vellum should know that Diamond owes them some truth booth questions.
Yeah. I was thinking earlier when they said something about this being the only time they would be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
My gut reaction was, and hopefully also for the truth booth, they would be
sincere. Yeah, maybe Vellum could say that now.
Mm-hmm.
And Diamond says, well, okay, sincere, not under duress. They gesture to the truth booth, which looks kind of like a phone booth. But no, it's bigger than that. Because it's got room for maybe like 5 people to fit comfortably. It's like, yeah, it's like this peach-colored booth that has truth booth in yellow letters written on the side. And they gesture to it and say, let's get this over with. I owe you 2 questions.
Okay, lead the way.
And you know what? I'm pretty in awe of this whole Veracity thing. So I will restore it to the original 3. Not having Chrysalis on my tail all the time would be wonderful.
Appreciated.
Spar brushes his older relative off his hands. And stands up. And offers Vellum a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
Vellum will take it.
Spar pulls him to his feet and asks, do you want me to come with you to this questioning? I don't think it quite rises to the level of an interrogation, but... Or is that like a you and... Oh, okay.
Please do.
Sure. So Spar will also make his way over to the booth.
It's like kind of dim in there and lit by some like differently colored candles. So it's kind of a interesting lighting situation. There's like seating along the wall, and in the middle of the floor is like a softly glowing like blue rune that powers the spell. Yeah. Diamond says, okay, well, there's no special command phrase or anything to the truth booth. As long as we're in here, we cannot tell deliberate lies. Well, not only that, but we are actually compelled to tell the truth.
Okay.
For example, has either of you ever had a crush on me?
No.
A crush on Diamond?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Hurtful.
Sorry.
Spar shrugs and says, I was always more of a Secutan guy myself. So out of character, Ela, do you want to strategize about what we ask?
Yeah, I do think...
Really quick, since Simon's compelled to be truthful, they're going to say, a lot of people were, that's why I kicked them out.
Oh. I think Vellum, after saying sorry, was going to say something about, it's a little weird with Gray being such a big fan. It would feel weird having a crush on someone that your uncle has a crush on.
That makes sense.
Anyway, out of character, my two thoughts for questions had been, one, trying to figure out why Diamond had targeted Kurt specifically, or if it wasn't specific, like why, what in general were they trying to accomplish?
Well, we know what they were trying to accomplish, right? They were trying to see if alteration could be undone.
Right. That's what Jasper said. So part of it was mm-hmm. also like to confirm if that was true or if Jasper was just making something up.
Well, I feel like it might be less that Jasper was making something up and more that Diamond had an ulterior motive, because mm-hmm. Jasper said yeah. That they weren't involved with like the 15 other kidnappings, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
I don't think Diamond was necessarily related to the other kidnappings either, because they haven't been in Clovenheart that long, right?
A while.
They were in Clovenheart for like more than a month. I think like maybe even a couple months.
Did those 15 kidnappings happen over a month?
No, like over the last year.
Okay.
So maybe something broad like, what role did you play in the missing people in Clovenheart?
Okay. My other thought, and I don't know if there would be an answer to this, but I think it's still something that Vellum would want to ask, would be if there is a way around Diamond's power. Like, if there's a way to prevent that from affecting people.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then the third one I think that I would want to ask is something about, like, how is Diamond related to Bridge and, like, that manifesting?
Did we have a clue about Diamond and Bridge before? I don't remember.
I think Diamond is, like, a big proponent of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Bridge is connected to the Deck of Many Things and that mm-hmm. Mayor Thorne isn't actually real, but probably doesn't know that he's not real. And so, like, he's in some way probably being projected by the deck, which is itself a god. And so it feels like...
Okay, yeah.
Knowing that Diamond is involved in that, I think the question is, like, what is your involvement? Or, like, what are you doing? What can you tell us?
Right, okay. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Diamond has taken a seat on one of the benches while y'all are getting like thinking for a moment, and like I'm gonna say they were wearing like some kind of like large circlet on their head as part of their costuming, so they like kind of take that off, getting more comfortable. Like, well, hit me, boys.
As a crack joke, my brain immediately went to spar punching Diamond, but that's not. Not helpful right now. Anyway. Does Spar want to ask any of the questions? Do you want Vellum to take the lead? What are you thinking?
It was a deal that Diamond and Vellum made, so I think Vellum can go for it.
Okay. Do you want to advise me on how to phrase it? Do we think we need to be careful about how we word things with Diamond?
I will say... What were you going to say, Essay?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think as long as we keep the questions broad and, like, they're compelled to answer, we'll probably be okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What were you going to say, Jordan?
Pretty much that. Like, it's not like a genie situation. Like, as long as you're asking vaguely the right question, like, you're going to get the right answer.
Okay. So what was their involvement in the missing people from Clovenheart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Diamond crosses their arms. They're not thrilled. You can tell they're not thrilled about this question. Mm-hmm. And they say, only that I helped give Bridge a popularity boost, and Bridge is behind that.
Okay. Does that change what we want the third question to be at all, Essay?
I mean, I think it makes sense to follow up pretty directly with, like, tell us everything you know about Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
In comma, including your involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you say that?
It's not a question.
I think that's okay.
Okay.
I thought about being persnickety about that, but I won't.
Okay.
Diamond's going to say, well, how much time do you have?
For you, hours.
I've got nowhere to be.
You're so sweet. That was sarcasm, by the way, because I have to tell the truth here. So, Bridge is a religion dedicated to a magic deck of cards called Providence and Pandemonium. I don't have any interest in that deck of cards. I think it's a bad idea. But my partnership with them grants me my gift of persuasion, which I quite enjoy having. And it is helping me develop a cure for... yeah, they would phrase it this way. A cure for being altered. And the deck is located beneath Clovenheart in a town called Sullenspade. That's mostly what I know. I will add, my agreement with them extends to helping them find Providence and Pandemonium, as well as helping them move along in the cure, and they help me, etc., etc. They want it too. I'm not sure why. They freak me out, so I honestly try not to ask that many questions.
You're not the only one that they freak out.
Sorry, what did you specifically say the deck is located?
In Sullenspade, beneath Clovenheart.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was a more specific, like, beneath a thing, but...
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Lastly, how can we negate the effects of your power of persuasion?
You two really are annoying, aren't you?
It's our job.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm not completely sure. I can tell you that I can control when I use it and when I don't. Beyond that, earplugs, not being around me, that seems beneficial to both of us, all three of us. I don't believe there's an off switch besides preventing me from speaking or preventing yourself from hearing.
Good to know.
I disagree.
Well, like you said, perhaps it would be in everyone's best interest if we don't run into each other so often.
I've been flipping between each question to see if an interruption occurred, and you guys lucked out both times. Two successes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But now the interruption does occur. Okay. You hear some amount of fuss coming from outside the booth. Like, people are talking, but you're not quite sure what they're saying. And it seems a little agitated.
Spar sticks his head out.
You see Governor Belladonna Thorne standing in the entranceway of the Atria, along with some of her Bramble Guard. Two members of it right now. I imagine the Bramble Guard, like, they're wearing, like, armor that obscures their face and everything, so they look, like, kind of anonymous and imposing when they're with her.
Governor Thorne, why don't you join us?
She glares daggers at both of you as you poke your head out of the truth booth. And says, why don't the two of you join me?
But we can be all honest in here.
I would hope that you're mature enough to be honest outside the truth booth.
And I would hope that you would be honest outside the truth booth.
Agreed. So come out of the truth booth and we'll all be honest together.
Governor Thorne, is this urgent? I'd like to make sure my aunt is okay first.
She gives you a long look and says, Lunavella Felspar or the other one?
Well, I meant Lunavella, but now that you've asked the question, I'm pretty concerned about both of them.
Well, I can tell you Brunhilde's just fine.
Okay, then I'd like to check on Lunavella. Then I will come to you.
If you know where she is, I will send one of my guards to check on her. Because this is urgent.
He shakes his head. I don't know where she is exactly.
She turns to one of her guards and says, search the upper floors for Lunavella Felspar. Thank you. And the guard nods and walks away, leaving her with just one. And she says, she calls out to the guard, she's a bird person, very easy to spot. And says, she doesn't leave town very much, town being Clovenheart, is that correct?
Yes.
Interesting. What were you doing in the truth booth?
Fulfilling an agreement that Agent Fella made with Diamond. Spar steps out of the truth booth.
Governor Thorne raises an eyebrow and says, I sincerely hope that agreement does not look anything like an interrogation.
Absolutely not.
Good.
Diamond came here willingly. Isn't that right?
Barely, says Diamond. It wasn't not an interrogation, Diamond says. And Belladonna looks pretty furious.
We did save your life.
Yes, but that doesn't always come with strings attached.
No, but you agreed
That's actually your job when you think about it. It's kind of extortion.
Well, also part of our job is getting to the bottom of mysteries, which Diamond has agreed to help us with and did. They're very helpful. Thank you, Diamond.
Yes, thank you for your assistance.
Fuck you both, but also thank you. Belladonna says to Spar, haven't you learned enough about harassing powerful people on the job?
Nope, he says cheerfully.
I could change that. Anyhow, I plan to teach everyone quite a few lessons. I should let both of you know that you're under arrest, and I would like that be done in a calm, professional fashion. We had to kind of muzzle and chain Ishbala, which was unpleasant, and I'd rather not do the same here.
Is Anya safe?
Oh, yes, of course. She's in involuntary protective custody.
She's in voluntary or in involuntary?
Involuntary.
Okay.
I think, as Belladonna said, like, you're being arrested, was when Spar was bending down to pick up the Tommy gun and the halberd.
Does he continue to do that?
He does, but he's holding them out in front of him. He's like, I'd like to put these back where they belong, and then I will come with you. I can't speak for my partner here.
She gestures to, like, with her head to the other guard, and he approaches Spar and takes the weapons.
Yeah, Spar gives them up.
Thank you for your cooperation. Cowlin, will you be joining me as well? I'm merely going to take the two of you to an interrogation room in the constabulary, and whether you are then moved to a cell is dependent on the events in that interrogation room.
I will cooperate. I would like to know what the charges are.
Me too. Right now, the charge is being a suits agent.
That's not against the law. That's...
In fact, we
just covered that that's our job. So that's what you want us to be.
It was your job. Doing. Suits is indefinitely shut down.
So then it seems as if we could not be arrested by simply agreeing to no longer be suits agents? He, like, goes to pull his badge out.
She puts up a hand and says, I'm investigating current and former suits agents.
Hmm.
So unless you have some kind of time spell I'm not familiar with.
Smart raises his eyebrows real high.
We're a suits agent. And I just have some questions that I would like to ask, not here. I also want to say, you see milling about people in white robes that have red chevrons on them. And you guys would know this to be the Arms of Alma, which are a group of healers that serve a goddess called Alma, who is the goddess of care and protection. And they're like they don't work for any like authority, but they're just like healers that come to sites of tragedy or whatever and help people out. So they're making sure everyone's okay here.
Have the remaining members of Chrysalis been arrested?
We're working on it.
I would hope that you would put more emphasis on them, but I suppose...
Mr. Vellum, there are 13 members of the Bramble Guard, and there are 2 in this hotel. The other 11 are busy stopping Chrysalis.
Good.
Not to mention, the forces of the Vasa Natura Police Department are also present here. And I've mobilized the forces of the Cindershore Constabulary. Do these meet your high expectations for my job?
Yes.
Wonderful. Could we have a chat now in the interrogation room?
Spar looks at Vellum.
Vellum looks at Spar and shrugs.
Spar shrugs. I'm pretty sure that Spar left his sword in like a locker. Because mm-hmm. When they first got there, they set like the locker and the TM radio down.
Mm-hmm.
So he will get the sword. He will refuse to leave without the sword.
Okay.
But he will go with Governor Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine Luna Vella still has the TM radio.
Yeah.
Yep. If they want Vellum to give up his two-shooter, he will. And he'll go with them too.
Essay, can you give me a brawn persuasion to try to hold your ground on the sword? Because I don't think she'd be immediately willing to do that.
Sure. So brawn is 3, persuasion is 2, and I'm healthy. So altogether, that's 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's a crit.
Oh, nice.
For 1, 2, 3, 4 successes right now, I believe.
Beautiful. Because your charm is 3, right?
My charm is normally 2.
But currently 3.
Currently 3.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. So 4 successes. Yeah, she allows you to do that. You're being scrutinized very thoroughly as you do it. But yeah, you do that.
And I think that's pretty normal for Spar. Like, there are lots of places where he will refuse to part with his sword.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't, like, the only person that happens to. I think there's still like adventurers around.
Yeah, who carry swords and stuff. Yeah, for sure, yeah. Also, I will say, you see an elevator open and out steps Luna Vella, who's with a member of the Bramble Guard and the Arms of Alma, but you're not able to really follow up on what happens there.
Does she have the radio?
I'm gonna say no, not at this time.
Okay.
Hey everyone, it's the middle of the podcast, but it's actually the end of the podcast, kind of. I'm Jordan. I'm your host, Jordan Quiverns. It's our first kitless episode in a while, which feels naked, but welcome back to 3 of Hearts. It was 4 of Hearts secretly for a while. I use they, them pronouns, and I play most of the characters. Essay, you play 1 of the characters. Actually, that's not true. You've played 2 this episode.
That is true. Yes, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. Earlier in this podcast, I played Governor Belladonna Thorne, who uses she, her.
Mm-hmm.
And for the rest of the podcast, and normally, I play Agent Merrim Felspar, who uses he, him. Mm-hmm. My agent fact for the day is while he was suspended, Governor Thorne sent him books on woodworking, and that's how he got into the hobby.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
Weirdly adorable. Ela?
Do we want to do socials, or are we just doing a socialless?
Whatever you want to give.
My socials are indefinitely suspended, much like Suits. So
yeah, fair. This is Ila Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. I don't know. I had vague ideas of a agent fact, but I didn't really come up with one.
Did you maybe send Spar like a secret gift because you felt bad?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was, because I don't know how well he knew Spar then, but
yeah,
he had met. How long ago was the Tim B flashback?
Oh, that was much more recently.
Okay.
Yeah, Tim B was like a couple months previous to our present day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the mission was the first time he and Spar have interacted, perhaps?
Correct.
Okay.
At least in any kind of substantial way.
At least that Vellum remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe while working together, he learned what Felspar's favorite tea was or something and sent him a little care package with a nice fancy tea and...
Maybe you just learned that he liked tea and you gave him like a sampler.
Ooh, yes. Gave him a tea subscription service. New tea every month.
Which to this day he thinks came from Sorrel, and she just won't admit it.
Aww. That's really funny, and I love it.
Does that mean like he's asked Sorrel about it, or has... Mm-hmm. Okay, and she just hasn't told him the truth?
Well, because she doesn't know. Well, she said no, because she didn't. And Miss Barr thinks she's lying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Cool.
Yeah, he was like, thanks for the tea. And she was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. That's really good.
And we're going to see, like, if this were a TV show, we would see the same branding tea or tea subscription service arriving at Vellum's house one day. And then Sparrow put the pieces together.
When this becomes a TV show, which is any day now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
My fact is that after that meeting from the start of the episode, Jack felt a little bit emasculated for not being able to drink whiskey. And so he instead tried whiskey-soaked dog food,
mm-hmm.
which he made Greggins prepare for him. And oh, no. he kind of liked it.
Okay.
Whenever he wants to feel fancy, he has that.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Yep.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Mid-Tro. Let's get back to the episode. Find yourselves in an interview room in the constabulary for not the first or even the second time in recent history, but this time you're on the opposite side of the table from your past times here. Well, I guess you've each been in interview room one time recently. Anyway, Thorne orders you some coffee. How do you guys take it? She orders it from just like a coffee plate on the way.
Spar takes his black, but with sugar.
Okay. Also, you guys definitely commute in sidecars of the Bramble Guard motorcycles.
Good, good, good.
Mm-hmm. How does Ellen take his?
Coffee with a little sugar, extra cream, and if there's any flavors, he enjoys flavors.
There's flavors. What kind of flavor do you want?
Earlier today, I really wanted white chocolate raspberry, but I did not get it. So that's what Vellum got.
All right.
I did not have coffee today, and I'm very sad. I'm
sorry. We find ourselves in the interrogation room. It's just Thorne in there with you. There is a member of her guard outside the room, but inside the room, it's just the two of you, the three of you.
Is she interrogating both of us individually or both together?
Simultaneously.
Okay.
unless you guys give her a reason not to do that.
Nope.
Well, I mean, like, unless you guys give her a reason going forward not to do that.
Mm.
So, anyway, she says, so, I'm not quite sure where to begin. I have a lot of questions for the two of you. Let's start with what you're even doing in Cindershore.
Suits business.
Yes. Be more specific, please.
We were following a lead, which...
Yes, I've read Spar's reports to Greggins, which all just say following leads or something similar.
Some of them say investigation going well.
Right. Well, could you tell me something, anything about that investigation?
We were following leads towards members of Chrysalis.
Interesting. And I appreciate Agent Vellum's responsibility in calling for backup. However, what you were dealing with goes far outside the scope of your job. And I have to ask myself why you went to Greggins, an office assistant, for backup instead of some kind of authority. Like, I don't know, me.
With all respect, Ms. Governor, you're not our direct boss. I also made this point. Spar kind of clears his throat a little bit because he did not make it elegantly or kindly. But he did. He did have like a blow up about how like this is way bigger than two suits agents can handle. So we reported it directly up our chain of command, which is to Jack's office.
Now, here's the fascinating discovery that I have made. Is that Jack Spade is missing?
Jack is missing?
Were either of you aware of this?
Vellum looks to Spar.
Spar doesn't say anything.
Here's what's most concerning. Upon further investigation, it appears that Jack has been missing longer than you've been on a mission. So I have to wonder where this mission came from.
That's not right. We saw Jack before we left.
We were played a recording of Jack's voice before we left.
Oh, that's right.
Do you normally receive missions through voice recording?
Not sometimes. Usually. I don't usually go on field missions.
Yes, but you're assigned missions in general. Are they often in the form of a tape recording?
Occasionally.
Have either of you stopped to consider the fact that Jack's voice is easily replicable by anyone who has his collar?
I am growing more and more concerned for Jack's safety.
All this is to say that Greggins also had no good information as to where his binder with information on this case came from. It didn't come from Jack directly. It was just in his office. I have no evidence to support that Jack sent you on this case at all. Normally, he at least informs my office that some kind of mission is happening and what suits agents are involved as a professional courtesy, so I can be prepared for anything.
What the fuck is going on?
That's what I'm asking both of you.
We've been set up. But for better or for ill, there are fucked up things happening that we have uncovered and stopped.
Without any kind of proper authority.
I don't know that very much of what we've done has required authority, per se.
Engaging with members of Chrysalis? Miss Whittlesby told me you went on a rescue mission to a Chrysalis hideout.
I would have done that with or without my suits badge. That was about me and Ms. Whittlesby, not about my job. I didn't show anyone my badge in order to get into the safe house.
So you're a vigilante now.
Comme ci, comme ça.
Okay. You're really not helping yourself. But I appreciate your forthrightness. You always were a straight shooter, Spar.
He does like a finger gun, like.
Well, I'm afraid that. Well, a few things. Let me ask you a couple questions.
If someone's playing us, to what end?
I don't know. That's why I'm interrogating you. I want to know what the hell is going on. So, you have been investigating in Clovenheart, right? That's what Gregans told me.
Correct.
That's where our journey started, yeah.
What's happened there?
Spar does like a low whistle. What hasn't happened there?
There have been some mysterious disappearances within Clovenheart.
And those disappearances led you to Cindershore?
More directly, they led us to Diamond.
Who led us to Cindershore?
I see. Well, I appreciate and admire the fact that you were able to stop Veracity. However, by engaging with dangerous terrorists, you endangered Cindershore. You endangered civilians who were entangled in these goings-on. Nothing was done by any kind of reasonable procedure.
We saved the civilians who were already entangled. Veracity was holding them hostage.
Yes, Veracity was very keen on their plan, whether we got involved or not. Chrysalis had called in a bomb threat a few days ago to Cindershore.
Per their own recording, Veracity's recording, per the constables here, they said they were emboldened by Spar's actions to increase the severity of the plan. If that isn't direct evidence that your involvement has made things worse, I don't know what is.
I think fewer people were harmed than would have been if we hadn't intervened. No one died on our watch.
That is a lot of conjecture. But what's fact is that you two are behaving as vigilantes. You're on a mission that nobody gave you, no one with any authority. You're engaging with terrorists. I don't know what to think, but it doesn't look good for Suits, and it doesn't look good for you two. I have given Suits an absurd amount of authority because Jack Spade defeated Morpholomew, and that won him a lot of clout. Neither of you two did that. Gregan certainly didn't do it, and he seems to be frantically running the entire agency. Which is why, until Jack returns and can explain what the fuck is happening, there is no Suits business. Which means, whatever investigation you're in the middle of, you have no business pursuing. I will gladly take it from here. I'm going to need access to Clovenheart, it seems. She looks at Spar when she says that.
Spar stares back at her.
Could you provide me with that access, Agent Felspar?
I'm afraid I don't have that kind of authority.
Okay.
What I can offer you is what I know about where Jack is.
She raises her eyebrows at that. How do you know that?
I made some calls.
Can you flip charm lying? Because that's true, but it's also not the whole truth.
I mean, he's not concealing anything.
Okay.
He literally called people on the phone. He hasn't done anything more than that.
Okay, well, you have the letter, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I was saying. Okay. She puts her head in her hands and says, where is he?
He was last seen up in Stoneloft. Now, you can sit us down in some fucking cell to cool our heels and agitate whatever prisoners come near us, or you can let us go find our boss.
If you go find your boss, it will be under the supervision of my guard. if I allow that.
I mean, do you want to go find him?
Yes.
Oh, well, then. Cool. I guess I'll just head home.
Sounds wonderful. After I clear you to do so, which may require some time in a cell. And I'd prefer to come back with Jack, frankly.
Hmm. And how do you plan to do that? Just curious.
Satan Stoneloft.
Okay.
Do you know more than that?
I mean, being a detective is a significant part of my job, Madam Governor.
I know other detectives.
Okay.
Ones I trust more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really... She takes a deep breath and says, I'm really disappointed that you won't take me to Clovenheart.
This isn't the first time I've disappointed you.
She smiles and says, and I'm sure it won't be the last. I would like to remind you that your sister is in my employ.
Mm-hmm.
That need not be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have Luna Vella, the closest confidant of a tyrant for most of her life in captivity. I can get to Clovenheart one way or another.
I don't doubt it.
We just won't make it easy for you.
You've always been able to bully yourself wherever you want to be. That's how you got here, isn't it?
She doesn't like that at all. And she says, I got here because you can tell she like realizes why this is a fucked up thing to say to Sparta. She says, because I liberated Vossa Natura from Morpholomew's forces.
Mm-hmm.
And people have decided to show me gratitude for that with their support.
Better their support than their lives.
Agreed. Now.
Are you going to suspend me this time?
This time?
She scoffs and says, yes, of course. Everyone in suits is suspended. There's no suits, right? Suits, basically, to consider it, doesn't exist. Here's the thing. You two are very capable. I would like to be on the same side.
We would like to find Jack.
And if you're willing to do so in my employ, my way, that is amenable.
And what's your way?
Doing things by the book, not engaging brashly before thinking through options.
I'm not sure that's enforceable.
If I send my guard with you and they physically restrain you if you decide to go off book, that is enforceable.
No, I mean... You can't tell whether I've thought something through or not.
She puts her head in her hands and says, well, I mean, when have you?
Always, he says. And he's sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the thing about Spar that nobody picks up on is he's always willing to put himself in the danger, right? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. He's thought through, and what he has arrived at is that he's expendable. So fuck it. He doesn't need to think further.
Mm. He says, I realize that none of this, what I'm saying, is what you probably wanted to hear today. I'm stressed myself. I have to figure out what the hell to do with Cindershore. Somehow a chrysalis has been fermenting here for who knows how long. It was almost lost to chrysalis. So I'm going to be putting Cindershore temporarily... indefinitely under my authority till we sort that out. And so the less I have to deal with, the better. So, I mean, truly it's up to you. You can either venture to Stoneloft under the command of the Bramble Guard, or you can wait for me to handle things in a cell and I'll release you when I talk to Jack or have time to figure out what exactly to do with you.
I am willing to cooperate if it means we can find Jack sooner.
She looks at Spar.
Spar tips his head towards Vellum. I go where he goes.
Fascinating. Adorable.
But I'm not going anywhere until I get to talk to Luna Bella.
That can be arranged. In general, it's been a long day for everybody.
Agreed.
So, I don't want to rush or strong arm anything 100%.
Spar snorts.
You two can take a night here in the constabulary. And in the morning, we will make sure we're all still on the same page.
Fine.
Is that okay, Spar?
When you say in the constabulary.
In a cell. I can arrange a bunkmate that might be amenable to you.
Spar looks at Phelim.
He goes where I go.
Spar nods.
Not tonight, he doesn't. And she says, Spar? Or she says to both of you. You have to agree to be in separate cells, I'm afraid. If I keep you in the same cell, if you insist upon that, I'm only going to assume that you're intending to conspire against me in some way.
Well, we might make out, but you know.
She really chokes at that. Like, excuse me?
Section 7 of the Field Agent Handbook.
Says what exactly?
Says that it's perfectly normal to engage in physical affection under duress. That it's very normal to seek comfort under extraordinarily stressful situations.
It's been a very stressful few days, I gotta say.
Well, Phelim, you will be sharing a cell with Luna Bella Felspar. And Spar will be sharing a cell with Anya Whittlesby.
I want to share with Luna Bella.
Charm persuasion. Or present persuasion.
I'll take charm persuasion because I have the bonus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So charm is temporarily 3. Persuasion is 2. That's 5. I'm healthy as 6. Three successes, a king, a jack, and a queen, not hearts.
Okay. She will incline her head. Say, fine. That can be done. And Spar, she has you escorted to a cell. And before she has Velen escorted, she speaks with him privately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Says Cowlin.
Madam Governor.
I want you to know that despite my misgivings, I've always been sympathetic to suit's cause. And I think that in starting it, you have been very admirable. However, I think that the way it is run has been naive. It is far too loosey-goosey.
There are many things that need to be reviewed and updated.
Agreed. And if suits is allowed to reopen, I will be having a very, I'd like to be very involved in that process.
Velen will nod, but not say anything.
I think that you are a smart man. And I want to tell you a little story.
I'm all ears.
Some time ago, my hometown, a small village, nothing of notability, was destroyed by Morpholomew's forces. I sought refuge in a clearing, well, Union Glade, a refugee camp there. The people there were lovable, charming, and very, very dumb. They elected leadership based on attractiveness? I tried everything in my power to get them to organize, but they never listened because it was just so much more fun to do things the more free way, without thinking too hard, doing what seemed natural. Eventually, they were all killed by Morpholomew's forces. The tragedy that is Skulls was born in that community. It was a real nightmare of a place.
Sounds like it.
But it was very fun, and it seemed like a good thing that everyone really was enthusiastic about. That's how I see suits right now. It seems nice to have an organization that protects without enforcing, that is able to stop the bad guys without enforcing a law too hard. Letting the constables do the ugly parts, right? But it just doesn't work. Without proper procedure and just letting things go, like sometimes you receive missions through a recording that is not vetted in any way, disaster happens. I made a similar mistake to as I did in Union Glade when I allowed Withervane and Cindershore and the other areas around Silvala to remain independent. It seemed like it would be easier and make everyone a lot happier that way. And now Chrysalis has almost performed a coup. And it took something very unreasonable, the intervention of two suits agents, to stop that coup. My point is that when you let people off too easy and just do what seems fun, chaos ferments. I want you to think really hard about that going forward. I, for one, am not going to be as soft as I have been. And I don't think that you should be either. It was tempting to be less vigilant now that Morpholomew is gone, right? The world is easy again. But the world was never easy, and it never will be. And it needs people to have a strong hand to guide it. If you're going to keep guiding suits, leading suits, owning suits, whatever your position in suits is, maybe think about having a bit of a stronger hand.
I will take it under your consideration.
Do you mean your consideration? You should probably have some more of that coffee. You can take it with you to the cell.
Vellum will nod and take the coffee.
She knocks on the interrogation room door, and another member of the constabulary comes and guides you to your cell with Anya. And that is where we will leave off on this episode of Three of Hearts. Yay. Sorry, this one was a downer, everybody.
I flipped no cards.
Do you want to flip? Can you just flip one card?
Sure. It's a 5.
Coffee wasn't that good.
Oh, man. Dang it.
Yeah.
Well, at least we had coffee.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mid-tro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.